Hey everyone, come on in. Let's get situated. How's everybody doing tonight? Let's give everybody a minute to get here while I get myself. So I have a presentation. I did a keynote and I'm super excited about that. It's my, oh, I don't know, third or fourth one. So I have this fancy little keynote to show you. So when I bring it on screen, I will not be able to see the chat. So I want you to know that, and I want you to put questions for me in the Q&A. So as you come up with questions, as I go through a little managing expectations teaching today, just put your questions in the Q&A. If you want to talk amongst yourself, you absolutely can in the chat. Make sure you're talking to all panelists and attendees so everyone else can see you, okay? So I'm going to go through, talk to you about expectations. I'm going to tell you a story about a little expectation mishap we had here in my house with my husband. I'm going to talk a little bit about how all this relates to relationships and overeating. And then we'll do some Q&A and some coaching, okay? All right, so I am going to get this thing rolling here. So let's do this. Let's see, you should see. All right, now. I can't see the chat. I don't know where it went. So that's not what I wanted to do. Hang on. Bear with me. I wonder what happens if I pop out the chat, because I really want to know that you guys can see what I need. So I'm going to pop it out and see if that helps. All right, let's try this again. Okay, I think I'm still on the wrong screen. Third time's the charm. Y'all be patient with me. Try one more time. I hit a button I shouldn't have hit. All right, now, will you tell me in the chat, do you see the big managing expectations or do you see two screens? One screen or two screens? Awesome. All right. So let's put this little thing over here. All right, so we're going to talk about expectations. And I gave you a little bit of preview of this in our Facebook group. And it was all about how you talk to yourself and how you talk to other people. Oh my goodness gracious, you would think. Hang on. Where am I? Oh my gosh, you guys, I'm so sorry. Y'all, this is like so embarrassing. Hang on just a second. Okay. All right, back again. Now we're cooking. So what you're going to learn tonight, what expectations are, how they affect our relationships, and why you overeat because of them. So I want to see, does this sound like you? The expectations we have of ourselves and others are what we're going to talk about, right? I'm going to give you some examples. You should put some in the chat and see how close you get. Y'all talk amongst yourselves and talk about what some of your expectations are. They can be about someone in your life, like your husband or your partner, or they can be about yourself. He shouldn't talk to me that way, might be one. He should work harder, might be one. She shouldn't eat that in front of me, right? How many times have you said that? Or you can have an expectation of yourself that might sound like, I should be a better mother. I shouldn't have overeaten today. I should exercise. I should drink my water. All these phrases have the common denominator of the word should, right? The word should comes from a place of lack. Something's missing or not right. Should, the word should, is a big indicator of a thought that you really need to examine. We even have these rules and expectations around food and the scale. We often think that if the other person would just say or think or do something, then we would feel good, right? If only these things would be happy or would happen, we'd be happy. Not true. Think about the model. Hang on. Okay. Obviously, I need to work on my keynote skills. Okay. Your boss says, amazing job. That doesn't make you happy. Your thoughts about your boss saying, amazing job, make you happy, right? Think about it. Thought creates feeling. Happy is a feeling. It's driven by a thought, not by what your boss says. Your boss says, don't ever do that again, right? You're embarrassed. You're angry. You're frustrated. You're like confused. You're not embarrassed, angry, frustrated, or confused because your boss said something. You are because of a thought you had about what your boss said. That's the part we tend to skip. We think that we have reasonable expectations for the people in our lives, and the way they should behave is reasonable in our minds, right? But oftentimes, our definitions are not the same. Your boss has a definition of reasonable for you. You have a definition of reasonable for him. They don't match. Right? Those expectations don't match. And even more, we have so many rules for our relationships that we've stopped experiencing the relationship. All we experience is the frustration. When we allow the expectations and rules to be the first thing we think of in a relationship, and we judge the other person by those rules, we lose our connection to them. We are so locked into our expectations that we forget to love and accept the other person for who they are. Think about it in these terms. Relationships are the way in which two people are connected. When we talk about the relationship with yourself, that relationship is the way you connect or talk or feel about yourself. Connection is the key word here. A connection happens in your mind. You have a thought that connects you to another person. The ultimate goal in a good, solid relationship is a positive, uplifting connection. And connection is built on communication. So I'm going to tell you a story. My Ken, my husband, was laid off from his job a few years ago. He worked to find another job and finally landed one as a contractor taking projects from a regulatory firm. He pretty much worked part-time and he was okay with that. I wasn't. He was the man. He was the breadwinner. He should be able to support me so I can leave my job and do what I want to do. And if he's not working, he should be painting the house or staining the deck, not watching murder mysteries and sports all day. I was mad. I had a list of expectations for him as long as my arm, and I nagged him like it was my job. Ken was happy. He didn't have to kill himself and work full-time. He loved his status as semi-retired. He wasn't happy that I was complaining about how much money he was making or not making. He also wasn't going to change. And even if he did change, he was not going to be happy about it. So I had to decide whether to force the change, lose the connection, or accept him for the man he was and the decisions he was making and rebuild my connection to him. Obviously, I chose to accept him, and he blossomed. When I got off his back, he was able to stop defending himself to me and enjoy life. And a happier husband makes a happier home, at my house anyway. There's no more talk in our house about how much he's working. I dropped my rules for him and gave him the space to grow, learn, and do things he loves. So now he's still doing the part-time stuff, which is sometimes full-time with his regulatory company, but he's also teaching yoga, and he's also doing handyman work. We communicate without yelling, and we're connected again, and he's happy, and I'm happy. We have Julie, who is one of my private clients, my one-on-one coaching clients here in the tribe. She's done a lot of work on relationships. Years ago, she brought her relationship with her sister to me, and she didn't bring it to me for coaching. She said, I just can't be around her. I can't believe she's calling again, and I can't believe it. And I said, let's talk about this. What's going on with your sister? Well, years ago, Julie's sister did something that upset Julie. Right? No. Julie's sister did something. Julie had a thought about it, which created the feeling of upset. Right? Back to the thoughts. Relationships are thoughts. For years, Julie watched her sister not live up to Julie's expectations. Julie held fast to her rules for her sister and how her sister should interact with her mom, and her sister always failed in Julie's eyes. Where Julie went wrong was that she didn't consider accepting her sister for the person that she is. Once Julie set her expectations aside and got to know her sister again, the family bond began to repair, and for the first time in years, Julie began to engage with her sister again. Now, instead of when the sister's in the house, Julie in the kitchen eating to avoid her, they spend time together. Her mother is thrilled because she had both daughters at her birthday party this year. Does Julie still have work to do? Sure, we all do on relationships. It's like being in maintenance. There's always still something to work on to maintain a healthy relationship. But that's okay, right? That's all right. You can apply these same examples to your relationship with yourself. Are you always putting yourself down? What's your self-talk look like? Are you expecting your body to react in a certain way when you eat certain foods or exercise or drink this or don't drink that? Do you have an expectation of your body? What's the connection that you have with yourself in those moments? How does that communication feel when you're telling yourself, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't overeat? How are you feeling inside? And what happens when you get mad at your husband, hold a grudge against your sister, talk down to yourself? You eat, right? You find yourself in the pantry. For me, when I was upset with my boss, I'd stick my head in the candy bowl. Not literally, but that's what I'd do. I'd hit the candy bowl. You eat because they don't listen to you. You eat because they don't love you, so you must be unlovable. And when you eat because you feel hopeless, when the scale doesn't respond, and you hate the way you look, I mean, that's just what happens, right? But if you clean all that up, you repair those relationships, you lose weight. It's key, right? That's what makes Relationships Weekend. That's coming up in March. So stinking special. You have husbands, partners, children, bosses, coworkers, and your relationship with yourself. All these things are going to be worked on by the girls who have already signed up. These are examples of the work that they're going to do. If you had an aha moment just in the last few minutes, think about the things you can learn if you take a deep dive into a weekend with this and how important this work is. We have girls coming who are going to, like I said, clean up their relationships with husbands, children, but mostly themselves, so they can focus on not reacting with a chip bag or a candy bowl and begin reacting with self-compassion and having their own back. That's what Corinne and I are going to teach. Here's how the weekend will roll. Day one, this girl gets to teach in depth about relationships and the components of relationships, what's important in relationships like communication, connection, unconditional love, supporting yourself, all those things. I heard Corinne define a relationship in this way recently. You and I have a conversation. We talk. I say something to you. You have a thought about what I said. You say something to me, I have a thought about what you said. The relationship is in those thought bubbles. It's not in the actual words. And when you begin to see that conceptually, you begin to understand relationships. Day two, Corinne coaches all day. All day, Corinne, right? Day three, we tag team. I'll coach some, Corinne will coach some, we'll teach some more. And we'll set you up with a good, solid plan to take home that includes a new mindset and your next steps going forward. You'll leave knowing how to drop expectations that someone else has to change in order for you to change. You'll love your person, your relationship you're working on, and yourself unconditionally. You'll know how to support yourself through this work by not eating in response to emotions. And you'll visualize, you'll know what that relationship is going to look like when you get to work on it, whether it's with your person that you bring with you, yourself, the scale, your food. You'll know exactly what that looks like, what you're looking for. And we'll have some fun too. On Friday night, we have social time with Corinne. She's going to be in the restaurant hanging out. Cocktails and mocktails is what she's calling it. And on Saturday night, we're going to podcast about relationships from the meeting room. Those two events are optional, but really, you should stick around and see if I get coached, because she's on this call. First of all, she's probably going to coach me on my use of Keynote, right? Getting that right. She might even coach me on my relationship with Ken, getting that right. Who knows? Who knows? But it'll be fun. Here's the details. The weekend is March 6th through 8th, 2020. It's in about 6 weeks, 7 weeks now. We'll have registration on Friday at 11 a.m. and then we'll start at noon. We'll end at 3 p.m. on the 8th. The cost is $19.97. Lunch at the hotel is provided Saturday and Sunday. It's a 50-member group, y'all. Small, small group. If you've been to camp, we're talking 350 at camp, right? This is only 50 people. Small, intimate group. So important. You'll leave knowing each other so well and having a connection to one another that's very special. This event is not recorded on purpose. We'll go deep, and we want you to be comfortable going deep. You can record your own coaching if you want, but we're not recording you. There's so many of you who don't want to do Zoom calls because you don't want to be recorded. We understand that. That's why we offer this type of weekend for you. For my girls who've signed up already, and those of you who signed up this week, mentor assignments are happening next week. We have 6 amazing experienced mentors for this event. And if you guys are in the chat, identify yourselves. You know, say, I'm a mentor, like Cindy Switzer, Jody Horman. I won't remember everyone. Robin Davis, Shannon Hott, Heidi Severson, y'all, Jennifer Saya. That's all 6, right? Also, your pre-work in the Facebook group, if should you sign up, starts the first week in February. We're going to do a little pre-weekend excavation and get you all ready, get you thinking ahead of time, and have some really fun things planned, some really good things planned. You want to read more about it? You go to pmptribe.com, live events, then click on Transformation with Kathy. Everything will be there that you need to know, along with the sign up link. And to wrap it all up, we'll do some coaching, some Q&A and some coaching. Your relationship with someone else is based on your thoughts about them. Okay? If those thoughts include a bunch of expectations that you're not letting go of, your relationship is on shaky ground. When you hear the word should in your mind or coming out your mouth, that's a key indicator of an expectation, and you always need to question that thought. Let me ask you this. What if at the end of Transformation Weekend, we could just remove the word should from your vocabulary? What would that do for your life and your weight loss? 3, people have the ability and freedom to behave however they want. That is something we are going to talk about over and over. Remember that. And that includes you. You have a thought about their behavior, and that's what defines your relationship. 4, most importantly, if you clean up your thoughts about the people in your life, including yourself, you won't emotionally eat because of them anymore. Clean up your relationships, clean up your eating. Lose weight? Can it really be that easy? Yes. I'm serious, y'all. You repair the relationships in your life and you 10x your weight loss. I 100% believe this. 100%. I did it. That's how I had to lose my weight. I had to stop telling myself I was destined to be this way. I'll always be overweight. I should get off this couch. I should stop overeating. I took that word should out. And I changed the relationship with myself in order to lose my weight. If I could wave a magic wand and give you all authority over your relationships with yourself, your food, the people in your world, and you'd lose weight, I would do it in a New York second. I want you to learn to trust yourself to lose your weight and keep it off. I mean, it's just that easy, y'all. When Corinne asked me if I wanted to help her with this weekend, I was all in, because y'all know me. I'm all about loving yourself and loving your people and all the things. Okay, so let's wrap this up and get to some questions and some coaching. Am I back? Can y'all see me now? Let's see. Hit me in the chat. Tell me if you can see me. Okay, good. I'm learning. All right. There's one question in the Q&A. Let's see. Hi, Kathy. My pattern is I always grab ass when my kids get home. A lot of reactive eating, and then it leads to putting myself down. How can I work on this? Where in these moments can I have my own back? This is anonymous. The first thing you do is you hear the dialogue that's going on in your mind. Do that recovery worksheet so that you can figure out what you're telling yourself in that moment. It's probably something like, my kids should calm down, or I don't understand why they're doing this. It's some thought that's leading you to recover in the pantry. You're not trusting yourself to show up in that moment, and you're not loving them through the moment and nurturing that relationship with them and how they're reacting in the moment. How's that for a lot of mumbo jumbo, right? But seriously, that's the reactive eating I'm talking about. If you go into this after school time when your kids get home feeling confident, loving yourself, loving your kids, you're not reactive eating, okay? You're reactive loving. You're reactive showing up. That's what all this is all about. Hope that helps. Do your discovery worksheet. Figure out what you're telling yourself. That's the most important first step. Okay. So I'm going to clear that out. Do we have anybody who wants to be coached on relationships, expectations, anything? Rebecca, you are up. If I'm going to do a couple of these. Oh, Stephanie is up too. Good. Let's see if we can get Rebecca on screen.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can't see you yet.
Okay.
There you are.
Oh my gosh. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Oh, nervous. Really super nervous. Can I do a shout out to my accountability?
Of course. Of course.
So we're called the Worthy Warriors. And so, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous. We've been talking in our group about our nervousness about being coached. And I said, you know, Monday is MLK Day. Kathy's coaching. I'm going. I'm just going. So
awesome. Awesome.
Oh my God, here I am. Well, after listening to so much, I guess this is one of my concerns about being coached is after listening to like what you've just said, I already have some insights. I feel like there's so much work I should.
Oh, there it is.
be able to do on my own. And so one is, as I was listening to you, I have so many shoulds at work, so many shoulds. The one thought I notice I keep having is it's just not fair here. Like the people are not good and kind and they don't want to be here anymore. Like that thought keeps recurring. And what I really want to do is quit and write. And I'm not doing that. Okay. And what I notice too is when I'm at work and I have those thoughts of how unfair everything is, one of the ways I get through it or one of the ways I manage those thoughts is by grab assing.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And yeah. So I really want to stop that.
I just want to do this model real quick
because
this is a great example of what I was trying to show in my keynote, right? So we have work and your thought is?
It's really unfair.
It's really unfair.
Like really,
really unfair.
Oops, I have a lot of thoughts actually on that one.
I can't write either. Really unfair. Feeling?
Frustrated.
Frustrated. That's one of the ones one of the ones that hits us with relationships. And action is eat. Result is you're unfair to yourself.
Right.
So we got a couple things going on here. You have a thought about your coworkers that they're being unfair.
Right.
Right?
Right. Coworkers and bosses, right.
Yep. That they're being unfair. It's frustrating. Yeah. You eat and then you are unfair to yourself. So not only do you have a relationship you could work on with your coworkers, you have a relationship you could work on with yourself. Because let's just for fun think coworkers and boss. Mm-hmm. What if we said they are who they are? Mm-hmm. And we accept them for the people that they are and the way they act and the decisions they make. No change in them. Just like there's no change in Ken and his working part-time, right. Semi-retired, right?
Right.
Then you're either accepting or neutral or whatever.
Right.
Then you're not eating. Your model stops. You're just working. You're just going to work. You're doing your job and you're going home. There's no more drama. They are who they are.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing how just cleaning up, not only if you were able to clean up these thoughts about your coworkers, not only can you go to work and earn the money, you know, you're earning and do what you're doing without drama, you're going to lose weight because you're not doing all this grab-assing anymore.
Right.
Crazy, right?
Yes-ish. I find it sometimes difficult to remember this, to think about it as it's happening, you know, in the middle of a meeting. I don't know, do I need a rubber band on my wrist or something to snap?
You know, sometimes what I do is I put a model, I have a model right here, a really important model for the way I show up at work. I have it hanging from my monitor. And even if it's a thought like, I just pulled this one right out of my tail, right? They are who they are. Whatever your leveled up thought is about your coworkers and your boss that takes you a little bit up from unfair, you start practicing that one. And then you end your model before you eat. Maybe instead the intentional model is the action instead of eat. It's just pause and read my model, or pause and affirm myself, you know, self-validate rather than eat. That's how you work on not only your relationship with them, but with yourself at the same time, mm-hmm. because you're honoring yourself by not eating, by repairing the thoughts in your mind about it.
Mm-hmm. And then it's just practice.
Yeah. Basically practice. What are you thinking?
I think it would be easier if they just changed.
Well, girl, you just write up that list for them, hand it to them, and say, this is what I need, and see how they respond. You know, but seriously, you're right. It would be easy if people just did what we thought they should do, but they're not going to.
Right.
So there's no reason in even just, there's no reason in, you know, having a whole lot of, spend a whole lot of time with that thought. And I tried to change Ken. I was like, dude, can't you ask for more work?
Right.
Okay. If you can't, if work's slow, I get that. Shouldn't you like paint the room, paint the house, mm-hmm. weed the garden, do something? And he just looked at me like I was crazy. I don't want to. Well, no, neither do I, but I'm the one working here. So you need to be doing something. You know, all this judgment and manual, all this stuff I had going on for him wasn't doing me any good. And that's right. The point of this, because my relationship with him was built on my thoughts that he wasn't doing enough.
Right. And I know I'm so super judgy. I know even if they did do what I think they should do, they wouldn't do it exactly right. You know, I still wouldn't be happy.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have anything to do with them, right?
Right. It doesn't. Right. It has everything to do with what's going on in your mind about them. So you clean that up, then all of a sudden you don't hate coming to work and you're not in the, whatever, was it a candy bowl for you too? You say grab at.
Yes. That. Yes. There's always food here. And I run a organization for students. And so whenever there's extra food anywhere, everybody's always bringing it by here for the students. And they do get most of it. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it ends up here.
At the weekend, we're going to talk about a concept called unconditional love, and we're going to teach how to love these people and accept who they are. Whoever it is that's in your C-line, for you, it's the coworkers and the boss. For me, it was loving my husband unconditionally. For Julie, it was loving her sister and accepting who she was. We're going to teach some of that as well.
Right.
And that really helps bring it all together. And I'm just telling you, you start to do that work and you feel better mm-hmm. because you're creating the thoughts that, you know, aren't leading anymore to frustrated and are back mm-hmm. to, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is my work. I'm doing what I need to do.
Right. Well, and I think in judging too, sometimes I enjoy it because it feels certain, you know, like I know I'm right because they're so wrong. I mean, I'm not.
Wow, that's a good thought.
I'm not proud of this thought.
Who did you say your accountability group was? Y'all need to get her modeling that one.
you know what I mean? Like, I can tell, I mean, I'm not proud of this, but I can see that there's a motivation inside of me that I feel like I feel more certain by the contrast. Does that make sense? Am I?
So I don't think
I mean, we have to judge because we get a payoff, right? And I think for me, mine is that I feel a little more certain in what should be, you know, that all the shoulds, mm-hmm. instead of having to do the harder work.
Mm-hmm. Probably so. It's real easy to say somebody else should be doing something rather than I am the one. We should clean all this up so that I feel better.
Right.
Right. If that, you know, if he would just change, then I'd feel better. Doesn't work that way. Right. Right. Because your boss could come in tomorrow and say, oh, Rebecca, you're the best. And you'd be like, really?
It's true.
It wouldn't solve a thing. Because you've already predefined the relationship as bad.
Yeah, right, right.
Anything else?
No, thank you.
Did we solve anything for you?
Well, I just think I need to work, right? I just need to do the work. I just need to put it in action.
Yeah.
Definitely. And also, I'm not afraid of being coached anymore, so that's
pretty good. Coaching is not that hard.
No.
It's pretty cool, actually. There are some people who absolutely crave it. They want to be coached as much as they can be because it really is very enlightening. Good. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. See ya.
See ya.
Stephanie, what happened to you? I thought I saw your hand raised a minute ago. Did you leave the call? Let's see who's next. Kendra?
Oh. Okay, hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Let's get your video started. There you are. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little nervous. I didn't think I would get called on.
You didn't? Well, your hand was raised, girl. What's up?
So I have a question, and it's not really linked to like eating, but okay. It's something that I've kind of had a problem with myself, I think,
okay.
for a long time. And it's around work again. Mm-hmm. And
it's funny some of the best relationship work is around your coworkers. You spend so much time with them. Right.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is I used to spend a ton of time at the office, but now I totally work from home. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was going to be a life-altering, life-shattering thought change for mm-hmm. me. But now it is just like the hamster wheel of distraction that used to happen at the office that I was really good at getting away with mm-hmm. happens at the house. And I feel so guilty. I feel so distracted. And I use like this course to like distract me all day, or I should start a blog, or I should do this over here, or I should go do the dishes. And like, I'm not I haven't built up that muscle of consistency, I guess. So I've not really figured out why or like what the thought is that keeps that going. But I know it gives me so much guilt to be like this because I know I'm basically stealing.
Okay. So there's your thought. Okay.
Okay.
Because distractions are your sea line. Whether it's ideas or blog starting or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the reason I know that is because you said, I feel like I'm stealing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and that's the thought that leads to guilt. Feel like I'm stealing. Guilt is almost always present when we're judging ourselves. Okay? And that's where the relationship component comes into this. Your relationship with yourself is not great because you're giving into this guilt. You're feeling this guilt. When you feel guilt, what do you do?
This. Scroll. I mean, honestly, I do more of the C.
Yeah. So that's basically we call that a buffer, a distraction.
Yeah.
Which takes your mind away from the work that you need to do. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So for you, it's your phone. And your result is, what do you think the result is? Go ahead.
I think it's kind of two. I know you can't have like two results really, but it's two things. It's either I haven't fully left and actually started this whole blog thing in the last 10 years of thinking about it. And I also haven't really succeeded at my career, which is a really good career of project management, oddly enough.
So if this, let's define this C line better. Distractions from work. Okay. So I think your second result is where I was going. And that is that you're not giving work your attention.
Right.
Okay. So the question is, how can you manage the distractions? Right? And stay focused on work. Because I'm saying they're two different things.
I want to start like a whole grand plan of like, you know, scheduling my whole day out. But I know that's not going to work because I'm not good at total life overhaul. So is it something that would be as easy as every 15 minutes of an hour during the day? I truly sit down and like sit down and do work. I'm never behind at work, which is the other thing. But I never really try to do more. So would it be practicing like small times every day consistently and like making those times bigger, almost like someone meditating or exercising, but not
I think you should have 19 browsers deep in the internet. 19 browsers deep. Do you listen to the podcast, the public podcast?
I did, but if it's something recent, I haven't recently.
Okay. No, this one's number 65. It's called the Worry Bucket. I want you to create a distractions bucket.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is I want you to give yourself, I don't know, one or two time periods each day in which you can scroll and distract yourself and think about your blog and do anything that is not work related that you want to think about, anything that's not work related that you want to think about.
Okay.
So the Worry Bucket podcast is number 65, and it was actually a concept Corinne came up with because she was coaching me. Because I was freaking out about my boss changing at work. I knew I was going to get fired. I knew he was going to come in and change the world. I was not going to like him. It was something new. I wasn't good at change, all this. And she really got sick and tired of hearing about it. And she said, I want you to pick a time every day where you can worry the crap out of work. And I said, all right, I'm going to pick my commute home, 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock to 4:45 every day. I will worry the fool out of work.
Okay.
So what happened was I'd be at work. Something would happen. I'd think, oh my gosh, here we go. And I'd say, no, it's not 4 o'clock yet. And as long as I gave myself that pause and said, it's not 4 o'clock yet, I knew that I could worry as much as I wanted to come 4 o'clock. And I got back to work.
Okay.
So giving yourself that focus time for your distractions, for your blog or your scrolling or whatever it is not only going to help you stay focused and stay more in touch with who you are at work and who you need to be at work, it's going to give yourself the grace to have the fun time too and the creative time too.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense. Because whenever I've tried to like control this or make it better or whatever, it's always some version of, never going to do the, I'm just going to shut it all down. It's like a huge shutdown. I delete Instagram. I mean, it's like, I just take a broom to all of the things. And I'm like, then I'm sitting there like, you know, tweaking out because mm-hmm. I don't have all those buffers.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not like I have one. It's just all of these like kind of ones that all add up and ultimately affect me because right. I feel terrible during the day when I'm wasting time and mm-hmm. not like this was really the worst. I don't know if it's the worst, but it was a really good example. I tried to get my project management certificate and you have a year. I took the class and I didn't have a lot going on at work and I had plenty of time during the day to study for this thing. I took the exam 3 times and failed it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is going on in there?
It's probably an issue of trusting yourself to do the work and to show up and to commit. It's probably a relationship with yourself problem.
Yeah.
And that's why it's super easy for you to say, oh, things are a little hard. I think I'll scroll. I think I'll get on Facebook. Maybe I'll think about my blog. What can I write? You know, it's,
yeah.
Honestly, that's your overeat.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it never comes to fruition. The other stuff I'm doing,
mm-hmm.
like I have a couple other classes, not like this, but you know, similar mm-hmm. ones on starting your own business. And I literally haven't finished it. For like 2 years. So I see what you mean by not trusting myself. It's not yeah. just work. I mean, it's not trusting myself to do work over here and then not trusting that when it's done, I'll do this other stuff over here. It's all.
Yeah. 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 I think what you need is some good, hard targets to shoot for and a good reason why you want those targets.
Okay.
And then you need to cultivate a belief in yourself that you will attain those goals. And you do that by working on your commitment to yourself and your trust that you know what you're doing and that you'll get your work done.
Is that like the new belief I could think is I'm trusting in myself and I get my work done?
That's what definitely one you can work on. You told me I can't do a big overhaul of my time. That won't work. And I was like, I'm going to write that down. And then we got off on something else. I mean, seriously, you said that. You said it probably wasn't those exact words.
No, it sounds like something I would say.
Yeah. So this is a classic example of a relationship with yourself that you could improve on. You're just not eating because of it. Most of us, when we don't trust ourselves or we feel guilty for what we're doing, we're heading to the pantry. You're just scrolling the Facebook or the, you know.
Well, I technically spend money to cover guilt, which
right.
That's now kind of out of the picture because I realized it, but I'm still like, okay, now what do I do?
Yeah. So you just traded overeats basically from spending to scrolling. Yeah. You should come to the weekend. I'm telling you.
Still heavy. Debt is still heavy.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm going to listen to this again because I'm pretty sure my brain was like having a party in there. So I just want to make sure I actually listen through and do
right.
what you suggest and I'll check in again.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right. All right. Who's next? Michelle? And Stephanie, if you'll keep your hand raised, I'll take you. After Michelle. Hello.
Hi, I did not actually expect to get called on.
Well, there are a lot of hands raised. Okay. I'm super excited about that. Everybody wants help tonight.
Okay, so I am a January baby.
Uh-huh.
And so far I've lost 10 pounds.
Nice.
But I have a lot of emotional drama with my mom.
Okay.
As far as my mom is a really bad alcoholic. I'm obviously an adult. I have adult children, but I still have these mommy issues. So I think my mom has kind of always, while she doesn't eat because she's full of alcohol, she's always been like my biggest feeder. And I think she liked that I had such a problem with food because then I was as messed up as her, I guess. And now that I'm like doing all of this and I'm getting in a good place and I'm, she's just really hateful about it. And I don't know how to deal with that other than just completely alienating my own mother.
No, you don't have to alienate her. You just have to understand her and expect her. Stop expecting her to act a certain way or do a certain thing or say a certain thing. I mean, think about it. You got your mom. Got your mom here. And we've got Kendra here. Kendra, right?
Michelle.
Michelle. Kendra was the last one. Sorry. Michelle. Okay. Your relationship is the thought bubbles between yourselves, between each other. Not what you say, but what you think about what you say. All right. So she says what? Give me an example of something she says.
Oh, you're on another one of those crazy diets again. How long is this one going to last?
Okay. Or that's the C line. You're on another crazy diet. Mom says you're on another crazy diet. What do you think about that?
It just reminds me of all the times that I have done different things and have failed.
So what is your thought about what she said? Not what it doesn't. I mean, you could say it reminds me, but what is your thought about it? I'm going to fail, or this might, maybe she's right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the thought that hurts, not what your mother says. Okay. So we've got mom said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your thought is maybe she's right. And that's what causes the hurt.
Yeah.
Okay. What she said didn't hurt you. You could have easily thought, well, she's had, you know, too much to drink. She's just spouting off. Understanding. Or mom's entitled to her opinion. She's seen me do this before. She doesn't know this is new. She doesn't know that this is going to work. Acceptance.
Yeah.
Okay. Your relationship with your mother is based on how you think about her. She could say all the ugly she wanted, but if you still come back to her with love and compassion, that's how your relationship is defined.
And I've done that my whole life. I don't know. It's just a whole.
Well, here's the other thing. You don't have to choose a relationship that's based in love and compassion. You can choose a relationship that's based on avoidance or understanding or just acceptance. That's the person that she is. You can, you know, it doesn't have to be a pie in the sky, oh, everybody loves each other, rainbows and unicorns relationship.
Yeah.
You get to decide how you define these thought bubbles, right? Because she's gonna talk. She's allowed to. That's the thing. That's the thing that we have the hardest time with, because you think she shouldn't say that, right? She shouldn't drink. She shouldn't say these things. She shouldn't judge me, blah, blah, blah. Well, right. She's allowed to do all those things. And she's going to. Now, you get to decide how you react to them. You can react with hurt or with something else.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's going to take a lot of pages of my planner.
Honestly, that's why we're doing a whole weekend of this. Because it does. It takes a lot of work. It takes some ahas. It takes some light bulbs. It takes tears. It takes acceptance and understanding. It takes all those things. But you're right. It takes a lot of journal pages.
Okay. That's my work.
It is.
Okay. That's all right. I will, to be continued.
Get to work. Think about, start with defining how you want to show up. What do you want to feel whenever your mother is around saying or thinking whatever she's saying or thinking? And work from there.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Take care. All right, Stephanie, are you still here? Good. Stephanie posted in the Facebook group, hoping to get on this call tonight. And I think she's like in some other part of the world. We'll have to check.
Hello.
Hi, where are you tonight?
I am in Beijing. And it is 8 in the morning on Tuesday.
So when you put in the Facebook group, I want to be coached on Tuesday. I was like, no, it's Monday. Don't confuse everyone.
Tuesday. Yes. Thank you so much. I'm so happy that there's a call that's not at like 2 in the morning my time. I'm like, I need some help.
Okay, well, hopefully, your internet connection is a little shaky, so hopefully we can understand you really well. So,
okay.
Okay, so what's up?
So I hate how I am showing up for my relationships right now.
Okay.
I am moving into a season where I'm more interested in the possibility of long-term relationships instead of small ones. The small ones weren't a problem because I know they're not lasting, so I'd be myself, I'm not worried, and that's wonderful. But now as I'm getting into like dating people who actually live here, I find like I'm so anxious and I'm nervous and I'm doubting and I'm overanalyzing and I hate it because it feels terrible. And then I realize that I'm hating it and judging it. And then I feel bad for hating it and judging it. Uh-huh. And I want to get out of this really unhealthy mindset because I recognize that it's not a great place and I'm acting out of places of fear and uncertainty and anxiety. And that's not great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but I'm also super judging my thoughts for having it. And so I just find it spirals around.
Yeah. So this is all these
it's
feelings.
Awful. I hate it.
Yeah. These feelings, I'm guessing, correct me, are all generated because of how you feel like you're showing up, not about how you're feeling about someone else.
100%. It's all me. The guy's been lovely, wonderful people. But I'm showing up like a crazy person.
Well, and there's your thought. I'm showing up like a crazy person. Why? Why are you? I mean, how do you want to show up? What feeling do you want to generate about yourself as you examine relationships? So let's think about the model, okay? So we're going to put in the C line here, new long-term relationships. Okay. And we're going to add Stephanie's feeling about herself. Okay. So this is about Stephanie. This model is about how you are self, you know, your own self. Worth, esteem, judgment, whatever. What does this feelings line need to be? Does it need to be anxious and nervous and doubting?
I would like, no.
No, right? What does it need to be?
I want to feel confident and capable and authentic.
Okay.
And to a degree I do, but I also start thinking like, oh my gosh, this is maybe long-term, like don't screw it up. And it means more now. So I think I'm putting more weight and pressure on it than necessary.
That's the poison thought. It means more now. That's the one that's stressing you out. Really, seriously.
Yeah. And I've had it before, and I feel like I've modeled on this, but I'm not moving past
Well, I'm wondering if it means more now is stressing you out because of your previous marriage. Because you were married before, right?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, just as a sidebar here, if you're drawing something from that relationship into how you're showing up now, because it means more now. We have to really get this right, because it means more now.
Right? Yeah, I'm sure.
Well,
I'm sure.
There's a lot of confusion. What if all you have to be is authentic, Stephanie? And I'm going to tell you something. As much as you post in the Facebook group, and everybody here, a lot of people, I'm seeing a lot in the chat here who know you, you are, if nothing else, authentic. Right? With the Facebook group. Are you authentic in life, in China, at work?
I try to be. Yeah, I try to be.
Okay. So when you are authentically Stephanie, do you like yourself?
I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really do.
Yeah. Why? Why do you like yourself when you're authentic?
Because I'm not second guessing. Like, I'm just me, and then I can live a good life. I can be and do more. Like, I can just show up. I can show up and do life without worrying about trying to be something that I'm trying to guess what's in somebody else's head. I'm actually being myself, and it's very freeing.
I think you just answered your own question about why you got on this call. I think that's the journaling that you need to do to reinforce to yourself that you really do like who you are when you're authentic, and the way you show up when you're authentic. For all those reasons you just mentioned, you can make an impact, you can do good things, you can be the person you want to be. Being authentic is such a beautiful way to feel about yourself, because it's very self-accepting. It's very self-confident. If every one of us showed up in the world as our authentic selves, we would trust and love who we are, right?
Yeah.
So if you carry that thought, those thoughts about why you like being authentic forward, then this thought, it means more now, kind of goes in the background. Okay, because if you're authentic and you present yourself in a way that you love, it doesn't mean more now or later or less or whatever. It just is in this moment, and you're exactly who you need to be, and the person that you want to meet is going to find you because you're being authentic. If you tried to be somebody who Stephanie wasn't, buttoned up, you know, all dark hair, you know, whatever, calm, you know, sedate, whatever it is that you're not, first of all, you wouldn't like yourself, you know, because it means more now.
Yeah.
You wouldn't like yourself, and your relationship wouldn't last because you weren't being authentic anyway. You want to find that guy or gal or person, whoever it is that you want. You want to find that person who loves you for who you are, because you love who you are.
Yeah.
So I want you to re-listen to this. I want you to listen to yourself talk about being authentic. And I want you to, that's where I want you to do your work. That's where you need to do your journaling.
Okay. And I have a sideways question. Is there such a thing as spending too much time analyzing or overanalyzing, maybe in my case, these like negative feelings, instead of taking action to just cut them off and be like, okay, I realize they're here. You've already done like 50 models on it. You don't need to do another one. You need to actually move forward with, you know, stopping them, thinking a new thing, or refocusing and being present, something like that.
If you have allowed yourself to feel those feelings to completion, then you can move on. You are frozen, so hopefully you'll catch this. The really, really important part is allowing those feelings to come in and understanding them and how they feel and letting them ease off. And then once you do that and you really understand the feeling and where it's coming from, hey, that's all right. Once you understand the feeling that you don't want and where it's coming from and you have fully allowed it, then you can move on with it. Okay. I think you can stay in your muck too long. You can decide at some point to say, you know what, I'm really done feeling that. I totally see that it's not getting me anywhere. What you don't want to do is change it by resisting it. You want to change it after you've allowed it and you understand it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Does that help?
Yes. Thank you so much. That's really helpful. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. All right.
Very much.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye. Everybody. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. All right. I'm going to do one more. And then there's a whole bunch more questions in the question box. So let's see. Deb, you're up next. What happened to Deb? Okay. Claudia. If Deb comes back, we'll grab her, but she's gone now for some reason. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm a little nervous. I was just told my boyfriend he could come out of the bedroom because I didn't think I was going to get coached.
Oh, get back in there. We're talking about you.
No, actually, it's not about him. It's actually
okay.
It's actually about my sister.
Okay. I'm good at sisters. Hit me.
Yeah. you know, it's... My sister had something horrible happen to her. I mean, she battled cancer and got over it. And then just as her life was getting back to normal, her husband died.
Okay.
And her husband died in October. And since then, she's been relying really heavy on me. And I'm her sister, and I feel like I need to be there for her. But the problem is, I put myself on hold. I haven't lost any weight since October, since this happened. I haven't gone to the gym. Just everything has been just kind of in flux. And when I tried to say, I need to take some time for myself, I need to do some of this, I was surprised because my sister got very angry at me and then started saying things like, because I wasn't there for her, you know, I'm being selfish. And so then I'm feeling selfish and I'm feeling guilty.
Why do you feel guilty? Your sister said you're being selfish, right?
Yes.
This is, remember how the model works when it comes to this. Sister said whatever she said. Right?
Yep.
You're feeling selfish and guilty.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Why?
Because I feel like if I'm not for her 100%, then I'm failing as my job of being her sister.
I'm failing my job of being her sister. And you said, if I'm not 100%.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to ask you something. This thought right here, is that the truth? 100%?
Probably not. I mean, I know she wants me 100%.
I'm not asking her. I'm asking you.
I probably don't have to be there 100%.
Do you have to neglect your own well-being in order to be a good and kind sister to her?
No, I don't.
Those are choices that you're making because of this thought. Okay. If I'm not 100%, I'm failing my job. Failing. I left out the word failing. My job of being her sister.
Yeah.
So your relationship with her is based on this thought, which doesn't necessarily, I mean, it sounds selfish and guilty. It also sounds a little desperate to me. Just me.
Yeah. I've had other people say that.
Oh, really? I'm so insightful. You can decide how much time, emotional, energy, effort, whatever it is you give your sister. What has happened to her is tragic, right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you have to shut down your life to be her sister. You can be her sister and support her and love her without failing at it because you're not giving her 100% of your time, without neglecting yourself. In fact, one of the things we'll talk about during this weekend is how important it is for us to take care of ourselves so that we can be the best person we can be for our relationships in our lives. When you're going into this relationship with your sister feeling selfish and guilty, do you think you're showing up best?
No.
Or do you think you're going in going, oh my gosh, I have to deal with her again, but if I don't, I won't be 100%.
And that's exactly how I've been feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then what do I do when my sister says these things to me? Mm-hmm. One time I said, please don't make me feel guilty because I wanted to take one day and spend it with my daughter while she was in town. And she's like, well, if you feel guilty, deep down, you must know it's not right.
She can't make you feel guilty. You're doing that all by yourself. Right?
Yeah.
With this thought. She gets to think, say, feel whatever she wants right now. Any day, really. She gets to say, Claudia, you suck as a sister. And you get to say, she's right. If I'm not 100%, I'm failing. Or you get to say, bless her heart, she's really hurting today.
Interesting.
Yeah. You get to choose how you react to what she says with your thought and your feeling. The way you're not, if you're showing up selfish and guilty, you're not showing up compassionate. And you're not showing up compassionate because you can't gin it up right now because you're too busy and selfish and guilty. And you can't gin up compassion because you haven't given yourself any compassion through this.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like you're showing up out of love for her. But if this is the thought, this isn't ginning up love. So that's where your work is. Okay. How do you want to show up? What feelings do you want to bring into that relationship, and how do you want to react when she's going to fire back at you? She's allowed to. How do you want to react?
My accountability partner keeps telling me I need to put up some boundaries. I need to take care of myself.
Well, boundaries are a funny thing. Boundaries are when you are actually being emotionally or physically harmed. You could, and a boundary has to be enforced. You know, if you were to say, I'm setting a boundary here, I'm not letting her call me 47 times a day, only 46. Because I'm not going to answer the phone on the 47th time. That's a boundary that you've set because, you know, that's a decision that you've made. I don't know if this is a case for boundaries or if it's just a case for deciding how you want to react. Deciding how you want to show up for her and for yourself. Because that's ultimately what we're doing when we're deciding our relationships with other people. We're also deciding how we want to be.
Yeah.
Makes sense?
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I hope you listen to this again.
I'm definitely going to go back and re-listen to this.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. All right, let's do these Q&A here. What do I do on those days, Betsy? What do I do on those days where I am unexpectedly starving? I haven't planned for it. You have a snack and you do a recovery worksheet. If you are starving, though, question yourself about whether you are starving or actually emotionally hungry. Nicole, I have expectations with my portion sizes. I prep really small portions and I usually hit my +2 before I'm done. I feel like I should, frowny face, be able to eat it because it's small and very healthy. My weight loss is stalled. Yeah, because you're overeating. Because you should be able to eat it because it's healthy. My struggle is accepting the very small amount of food my body actually needs. That's where your work is then. You have an expectation around your food, right? That you, because it's broccoli or healthy or whatever it is, that you should be able to eat what you want. That's the rule that you've put in place that's getting in the way of your weight loss. So you said, accepting the very small amount of food my body actually needs, you have to practice it. You have to look at it and say, this must be all I need. I don't like it. And that's okay. And move on. At what point do you have a conversation with the other person? Example, a long-term friendship has slowly changed and I would like to understand why. You can have that conversation anytime you want. Just don't go into it with a bunch of expectations. I was reading today about someone else's teaching about relationships, and they said, if you're going to make a list of everything you expect out of a person and you hand it to them, you can totally do that. But they don't have to do what's on your list. Right? If you want to understand what's gone sideways in a relationship, you can talk to them. Just tell them how you want to show up and ask them, if they reciprocate. But don't put any expectations on the relationship. The only expectation you should be putting on a relationship is how you show up, what you want to bring to the relationship, not what the other person is doing. I definitely have relationship issues, mostly with myself. I have expectations for how all in my life should behave. What's the first step to working on this? You have to get all those expectations out of your head. Write them all down. Every single rule you have for yourself and for everybody else, write them down and start to question them. My husband is very judgmental. How do I cope with him judging almost everything I do or don't do to his expectations? He gets to judge you. He gets to say what he wants. You get to react in the way you choose to react. Right now, you're reacting out of frustration or judging him back for judging you. That's, gosh, y'all. All these would be such good, so good at the weekend. Laura says, hi, Kathy. Hi, Laura. I have a sister who I never know which one I'm getting, the controlling one, the attention-seeking one, the sleepy one, the angry one, and I've tried accepting her as who she is, but I never know which sister I'm getting. Any suggestions? Yeah. You accept that she's unpredictable. I mean, seriously, that's just the one thing. I mean, she's not going to call you up today and say, okay, I'm coming over and I'm angry, or I'm coming over and I'm sleepy. You just say, hey, how you doing? What's up today? I mean, it's like me on these Zoom calls. I never know who's going to come in and what they're going to want to be coached on. I'm just ready. I'm just ready for whatever you guys bring me. Okay? That's what you're doing. That's what you need to do with your sister. Just know that she might show up one way, or she might show up another way, or she might not show up at all. And that's just her. And you're okay with that. Or you decide how you're going to react with that. She also verbally assaults myself, my son, and my parents. Sounds like you need a coaching call. Verbally assaults, we would need to define. And you need to decide how you want to show up in that circumstance as well. I was recently verbally attacked on a group email for a nonprofit that I'm part of by a hired consultant. Her words were untrue and unkind and still sting, but what bothers me more is no other person on that email has addressed it, sweeping it under the rug. I used food to replace my feelings over the last 2 days. What's your advice on how to accept these people for who they are? I don't see me accepting this behavior. Well, you don't have to. You don't have to accept their behavior. You get to decide. You have an expectation that they should come to your defense. They chose not to. You ate. Your expectation wasn't lived up to. They don't have to live up to your expectation. So you get to decide how you're going to respond to that. Are you going to talk to them? Are you going to let it go? Are you going to talk to the person who verbally attacked you? You get to decide all those things. Just do it from a place where you like your decision. Okay? Oh, there's Deb. I'm sorry we didn't get you on. I couldn't get you called up. I went through a divorce and it's been 3 months. I still love him. We're friends. And he said, never know, people do get back together. Has to do with kids, and it's all daughter. And I have 3 kids. She would lie, but he would still side with her. I have a hard time, and it felt like she was more important than me. He would side with her. Okay. So you have a lot of thoughts about this ex-husband and about how he shows up. What you need to pay attention to is how you show up, what you decide you're going to bring to whatever relationship you still have. Knowing these things about him, knowing his behaviors, you get to choose if you're going to continue a relationship with him. You said you still love him. If you continue your relationship with him, you continue it with full knowledge of all these other things that, he brings to the table. So remember, in a relationship, especially in a spousal relationship, you pretty much have to stay out of the expectation pool and accept the person that you're with because you're with them, right? Where do you even start to discover one's authentic self? You journal, 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 journal about it. Who am I? Who do I want to be? Ask Stephanie. She's super good at authenticity. Journal, journal, journal. Best advice for putting a plan together. When I travel, about 80% of my job, I travel to areas I'm not familiar with, restaurants. So I put protein, carb, veggies. Okay to put on plan for dinner and try to match it. Sure. I would also put on your plan that you're going to eat between your twos. Every single time. Make your best decision. Eat between your twos. That's my go-to. I've been struggling with setting weekly goals. Do you recommend setting a concrete number? I have set 2 or 3 pound goal and I've done well, but fallen short by a fraction of a pound. On the one hand, I feel good about the loss, but I feel like I should have pushed more to reach my goal. That's where you're going wrong. You put a goal out there, you do your best to get to it, and then you celebrate your win. If you told me your goal was to lose 100 pounds and you only lost 95, would you consider that a failure? Or would you consider that a win? That's how I want you to think about this. You put a 3 pound goal out there and you lose 2. Is that a failure? Is that a win? My husband and I cannot communicate and get along. Me focusing on my thought work with PMP is bringing up so many thoughts in me. The way he thinks and lives is so against my new way of thinking. I don't know what to do. Anonymous, you need to come to the weekend. Seriously. I wish I knew who you were. Again, remember how Corinne defined a relationship. It's all based on the communication between the two of you and what you think about it. Okay? You can't control the relationship from his side. He controls how he shows up. You are all in charge of how you show up and what you think and feel about what he says and what he does. Those are decisions that you can make. If you want to stay with him because you love him, then you find ways to think and feel about him the way that you want to think and feel about him. I saw your presentation, but I'm still a little confused. Okay, good. When I say something in my head like, I should work out today, or I should make better food choices, how do I change it so it's a better thought? If you are saying, I should work out today, from a place of, this is how I want to show up, and I'm motivated, and I'm doing it, it's okay. But if you are beating yourself up, saying, I should work out today, but I just really don't feel like getting out of this chair, then that's not a good place to be. Or I really should make better food choices because, you know, I'm overweight and I'm on this plan. That's not a good expectation. But if you're setting a goal for yourself, if you're saying, maybe rephrasing it by saying, I want to work out today. I can work out today. Maybe that's just a little bit more empowering than using that should word. I think that's what I would do, is I would change those words from should to can and want to and will. Does that help, Mary? All right, you guys. That's all the Q&A. We're at about an hour and a half, so I think I'm going to let you guys go. If you are interested in the weekend, go to pmptribe.com, live events, Transformation with Kathy. All of the information is there. The whole schedule for the weekend is there. The link to sign up is there. The link to sign up is also in the email that you got about this call. So you don't even have to go on the website. You click straight through on that email. Newbies, you are most welcome to attend this. By the time the weekend comes around, you will have been through the No BS. Pay special attention to phase two because we're going to be doing a lot of this model work. It's going to be good. You're going to see a lot of your thoughts when you come to this weekend. I am super excited. I am over the moon that this is available to you. Okay, I wish it had been available to me as I was losing weight, because when I hit maintenance, I didn't trust myself to stay there. Had I learned some of this stuff, I wouldn't have gotten hung up and so upset and distracted and worried that I wouldn't be able to keep my weight off. Developing that relationship with yourself and showing up in your relationships for other people just makes your world so much easier to live in. So much easier. You don't turn to food anymore. You don't turn to booze anymore. You don't scroll to Facebook anymore. You show up and you know that you've shown up authentically and in a beautiful way that supports yourself and you have your own back. This is what I want for you guys. It's so what I want for you. It's an amazing opportunity to spend the weekend with Corinne, to get to know her a little bit better, to watch this podcast, to let me teach. I just can't wait. And I really, really hope you guys come. So if you have any questions for me about the weekend, email support@pmptribe.com. Ask for me. Mammy will send the questions to me and I will get you taken care of. All my girls who are signed up, you guys know how excited I am. It's going to be amazing. You heard me say mentors next week, pre-work starting the week after. I'm doing all the studying. It's going to be good. It's going to be super good. You guys have a good night. Thanks for being here. Bye.